You'll believe in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah. This should be us Pentecostals candy stick scriptures right here now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Acts 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 37, the Bible says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Have you been called? Hallelujah. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, hallelujah, you got to have a response to the word of God, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Let's go to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them being grieved, and they laid, they taught the people and preached through Jesus' name the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was of about 5,000. Amen. Verse 31. Hallelujah. Persecution's taken place. But when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Amen. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask you, Lord, that you would just minister the remainder of this service. Do whatever you want to do, Lord. This is your service, not ours. And Lord, we just believe you to touch us in a special way. Move tonight, Lord, and I'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I've often wondered what it would be like for people that go to a church where certain passages of Scripture like this one are avoided or never preached about. Churches that explain away the significance of the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost as it relates to the church today. Churches that say a certain move of God is no longer available, even necessary, to say that certain giftings of God have now been revoked from the church and that the supernatural power of God is now an exception when at one time it was the distinguishing rule of the church. What is it like to go to a church that never stretches itself for the supernatural? What's it like to go to a church that never intercedes for divine intervention? A church that no longer believes for miracles and signs and healings and wonders. Amen. What would it be like to believe that there was a former rain, but no latter rain? And to believe that the last days meant the last of the first apostles and the things that we read about in the book of Acts flamed out with the last dying apostle? What would it be like to be in a church like that? I kind of have the same feeling that Brother Don Rich said when he speaks about going and being in a place where a preacher wouldn't preach against sin and the world. He said, if you're going to a church like that, I wouldn't get up and walk out. I'd get up and run out. Hallelujah. Well, I don't want to be any part of anything like that tonight. Amen. It has been said that the book of Acts does not end with an amen, and it is because it is yet an unfinished and an ongoing biography of the church. The last chapters of the church have not yet been written. Hallelujah. Even now, I believe that God is stirring among His people, amen, a yearning and a hunger and a longing for one more grand finale before this thing winds up. Oh, hallelujah. When we read about the day of Pentecost, we are reading about a day that there was no other day like it before it. It's a day that the infant church was filled with the heavenly promise. A day when the Holy Ghost came to take up His permanent abode in the church. And the promise was, He shall abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost filled the 120 and mastered them from within. Amen. He conquered them through their wills, and He fortified and furnished them from within. On this day of Pentecost, the 120 were filled with an unresistible, irresistible magnetism. They drew the crowd and needed no other attraction but the Holy Ghost to do it. No power teams, no special singers, no personalities on display. On this day, the Holy Ghost in the church confused the critic, confounded and amazed the multitudes. The crowd could not explain, but neither could they explain away God's divine and supernatural workings. On this day of Pentecost, the multitudes that gathered heard the 120 speaking in different languages. It was said that there's 17 different nationalities that were present during this time of the Passover. And they questioned, are not all of these Galileans? How is it that we hear every man speak in our own language, wherein we were born? Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost showed the early church and the world from the very onset that He alone would be the key and the catalyst to communicate the gospel to the nations. And I still believe Jesus has ascended on high, and He's went and is seated at the right hand of the Father. But His first intercession for us was that He prayed the Father that He would send us another Comforter, and that He would abide with us forever. Amen. At Pentecost, Simon Peter preached. Amen. He was fresh from that upper room of power. Amen. He became the featured speaker to preach the opening message of Christ to the multitudes. And the Holy Ghost pricked the crowd's hearts and all of those that heard the message. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? And when the day was done, the Lord had saved 3,000 souls. What a day. What a day. What a day. It was a day unparalleled, amen, by any other day. A day of unparalleled power and glory. Never before had the world seen such a wholesale demonstration of God's power of the Holy Ghost. Before Christ's coming, the special religious offices had been reserved for a select few. Amen. That the anointing would be poured out upon, such as prophets and priests and Levites. But now, the royal priesthood had been made available to both one and all. Hallelujah. Amen. The promise, my brother, He said, is unto you. Amen. That's present right here. He said, it's unto your children. Amen. It's to them that are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I've come to tell you tonight with emphasis, amen, that the Holy Ghost is for you, and the Holy Ghost is for the church. And the church needs to be for the Holy Ghost.
I said, the Holy Ghost is for the church, and the church needs to be for the Holy Ghost. It is His divine desire to fill us. Amen. Stay with me just a few minutes. The 120's forefathers had stood at the base of Sinai's mountain, and they had gazed with wonder. Amen. At the base of that mountain, as the fire of God's presence hovered over that mountain and turned that mountain into a glow. But now that glowing glory had been dispensed from on high. Amen. Amen. And it took the form of cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And here we are tonight on September 20th, 2015, the offspring and the lineage of these spiritual forefathers. And what I'm wondering tonight of the church is, do we believe that Pentecost is simply a day on the past calendar somewhere, or do we believe that the person, the third person of the triune Godhead, still wants a date with the church in this present day that we live in today? Whew. Do we believe it? Hallelujah. I still believe that He longs to pour out His power and His Spirit on all flesh. Amen. I'm not one of those that subscribe to the idea that the church's best days are over. I'm not one that subscribes to that. You may be. There are some things that discourage me, though. Anybody ever get discouraged by some things? Lord, help me right now. I come across something, and this is what it said. It said, our churches are in crisis. Churches have now hired certain committees and promotional groups and agencies trying to figure out the best way to compete with the world for a crowd. And this is what they're saying. Don't build your churches to look like churches. Get away from all traditional stereotypes. Make your auditoriums look like a theater and your stage like a production setting. Have you been into any of these places? I'm just going to tell you what I read. Move out the altars. The preacher no longer preaches behind the pulpit. Put him on a stool. Make everything look as casual as possible. Game rooms, coffee bars, and social gathering rooms are the new selling points of the church. Make church convenient as possible. Drop midweek services and schedule activities in their place. Sunday night services are outdated. You think it's just coincidence, folks, that that's what's happening? Just do two morning services and give people options. You'll have a crowd that wants traditional, and then you'll have a crowd that wants contemporary. Preaching has now evolved. You need to be more of a communicator than a preacher. More of an entertainer than an expositor. Make the message simpler, shorter, and less confrontational. Sermons are to be more interrelational than doctrinal. If you know anything about what's going on in modern day churches, you know this is what's happening. And all the while, we have relegated the Holy Ghost out, conviction out, spontaneous worship out, and in doing so, true conversions out. Thank God this man had the courage to say this. He said, when we lose reality, we lose relevance. When we lose reality, we lose relevance. Could I add something to that? When we lose reality, that's when we do substitutes. Huh? We need the Holy Ghost. And I hope I'm preaching to people in this last days that is still going to earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all, delivered to the saints. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I need to hurry. Amen. Now listen, when I come to our text tonight, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, I see something. Also in verse 32 and 33, we see that the day of Pentecost was not the crescendo. It was not the zenith of the church. Acts chapter 4 is a record, and I hope you stay with me just a little bit. Acts chapter 4 is a record of a day greater than Pentecost. It almost sounds sacrilegious, doesn't it? Disrespectful. But let the record show it has happened before, and there's some of us that believe it can happen again. In Acts 2 and 41, we read that 3,000 were added. But in Acts chapter 4 and 4, it says, howbeit many of them which believed the word were believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Just by the numbers, it's a day greater than Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. No doubt the church was still rejoicing about the 3,000 that was saved and the people that was being added daily to the church. When all of a sudden, there comes chapter 4. Amen. And 5,000 men. We don't know how many women and children. Amen. But 5,000 men were saved. Amen. Yes. And God seems to go on record and say, you're not going to lock me in to a date and to a time. Amen. You're not going to put limits on the limit. This one, I'm going to show this early church, amen, that the day of Pentecost was inaugural, amen, but I want to show the church today that Pentecost is alive and well, amen. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, we have 120 that's gathered in the upper room, but in Acts chapter 4 and 30, we have a multitude that's gathered. There's at least those from among that group of 3,000, no doubt, in those early 120. There's perhaps those of that 5,000 that's just been saved, that's gathered there. And there's a multitude gathered there together. Amen. Some people say, where did they gather? Amen. Let me tell you something a little bit about the early church. Sometimes we think that we got such a small-minded mentality. We really do. Amen. The largest place that they could possibly gather was Solomon's porch, possibly. Solomon's porch would hold over 5,000 people. Amen. The church of Jerusalem grew upwards of 40,000 to 50,000 people, according to historians. And so what they did, the early church, amen, they couldn't house them all. They couldn't put them all in one building. So they broke up in little cell groups, if you will, of about 2,000 to 2,500 dispersed all over Jerusalem and the outskirts of the city. I'm telling you today, there is a small-minded mentality among us holiness people, and we've locked God in. And we want to look at our standards and point fingers of accusations against it and say, this is a reason why the church can't grow. The reason why the church doesn't grow is we're not putting on a demonstration of the Spirit and the power and the glory of God as they had in that church from the beginning. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, yeah. And the Bible says, and they were all filled, a multitude of them. Huh? Amen. Not only so, In Acts chapter 2, we have 120 that's got in one mind and one accord. I believe you'll agree with me. That'd be a modern-day miracle. You could just get 120 in one mind and one accord. Amen. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, and the Bible says that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. I said the numbers say it was a day greater than Pentecost. I say let the church of Jesus Christ once again be baptized with a spirit of holy optimism and faith. Amen. And let us raise the level of our expectation to the divine and believe God for a day that is yet unknown to us. And believe God that God wants to do more than you and I can even imagine. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Leon, you're preaching like that. You're not going to get a chance to preach in a lot of places in our Holiness Church. Well, that'd be all right. Huh? I'd like to say tonight, I thank God for our church is here. Amen. We let out for that, this service tonight, and I'm so glad they're here. Amen. Amen. Why is it that people want to live in the past? They sit down and talk about the good old days when God was really moving. You ever heard them? Yeah, in the days when God was really moving. One man said, I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost when it was real. What? Hallelujah. He's still moving. He's still moving. You say, well, what's the problem? We're not moving. Hallelujah. We're not moving. We think somehow God's going to pass out rewards for our mannequin impressions. It's not so, my friend. God is looking for a people to have the mind of the Spirit. A people, oh yes, a people even that will seek and covet earnestly the best gifts. He's looking for a people that will have an expectation beyond anything that they have witnessed today. Amen. Oh yes. Thank God for our sacred past. I want to go on record. Thank God for our holy heritage. I really do appreciate it. I'm glad our heritage is a holy heritage. A holiness heritage. Amen. I'm not looking for anything else. If you know anybody that thinks anything else about Leon Rich, you just tell them. Leon Rich is not looking for anything else. Huh? Amen. I've cast my lot with you. Like it or not, you're stuck with me. Huh? That's right. You're my people. Hallelujah. Somebody said, live, die, sink, or swim. I went, no, if you decide to live, die, sink, or swim, I'm not going down with you. Huh? Hallelujah. Live, I'll stay with you. You want to die upon the vine, I'm not sticking with you. You ain't going to believe God for something, I'm not staying with you. I'm not hitching my wagon to unbelief. I'm going to try to instill in the lives of this generation and the generations coming on that if the Lord tarries, I want to see revival unrivaled by anything that I have seen today. Lord, I need to praise. Amen. I love to hear the stories, and I know you do too, about what God has done in the past. But I like what my dad said one time. He said, memory is an awfully good cake to nibble on from time to time. But you're going to starve to death trying to live on memories. Huh? That's right. Listen, I'm not planning on polishing up my 25-year-old pen and telling this younger generation that I'm glad I got the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost was alive and well. He's still alive and well. Amen. The Holy Ghost is still moving. Amen. Take your break. Get your foot off the brake and get your foot on the gas. Make sure the emergency brake has been pulled. And let's do our best to see God do something in this last hour. Lord, help me tonight. Amen. I need to get away here in just a minute. If the reason why I'm staying with my notes tonight, because if I don't, I really will get long-winded. The curse of our Pentecostal churches is not Facebook, Instagram, or social media. The curse of our churches is low aim. Loang. Hallelujah. If we get full of the Holy Ghost, we get full of expectation. Hallelujah. I don't know how many times Peter and John had passed by that gate, but this time when they passed by the gate, the Bible says that this man that was lame at the gate looked on them expecting to receive something out of them. Something's happened over there in that upper room. Something's happened. I've heard it noised abroad. Even this church shouted out of that upper room like drunken men. Let's see what they got. Amen. Woo! Praise God. One man said he was asking for alms and got legs. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Ah, glory. Woo! Yeah. One man said he was, that beggar man was asking for alms and got legs. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you didn't get it, you're probably blind, I guess. I don't know. Amen. Joel's prophecy is what I believe. I tell you what I believe tonight. And if your preacher won't shut me down, we'll just get to go to high hop a little quicker. Amen. I believe that Joel's prophecy, the first part of Joel's prophecy was fulfilled at the outpouring of Pentecost. That's what I believe. He prophesied of that outpouring. Amen. But I believe that the last part of Joel's prophecy, as it relates to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, is to be poured out in these last days. You say, why do you believe that? I believe that because of verse number 20. He said, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. That's enough for me. Maybe you need more. That's enough for me to have an expectation. You may need more. You may have to have a miracle to believe something. But I believe it now. Amen. Before the notable and great and notable day of the Lord. Amen. Hear me. I'm not about to confine God to the dust jackets of our storied and sacred past, though I'm thankful for it. The Bible says, let one generation praise his works to another. Amen. Brother Tommy is supposed to turn to Brother Daryl and say, let me tell you what God's done. And let me tell you what you can expect God to do in your generation. And Brother Daryl's supposed to be able to turn to his sons and his daughters and say, let me tell you what God's done for me. Let me tell you what God's done in our lives and what you can expect for the next generation. One generation shall praise his work to another. It's not a carrot on a stick that we wait and see what God done for us. No. It's see what God done for us. See what God done for us. Amen. God will do the same. Peter said, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth the Lord and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. You don't want it? Well, I do. Your church don't want it? I do. We've had a move of God, and I found out that there's people in every church that don't want it. But there's enough in our church that do want it that he's coming by. He said, in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sister Nancy mentioned it tonight. I don't know whether God's going to send a worldwide revival. I don't know if we're going to see it on a certain magnitude. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the Lord dealt with me one time and said, it's going to be kind of like this. I wish I had a couple cups. But he said, the opportunity is going to be there to catch the rain. But some are going to have their cup. But some are going to have that cup up. The opportunity is going to be there to catch it. But it's going to be up to you and I whether we're going to be in the place to receive it or not. It's available. It's there. It's going to depend on how you got your cup. Amen. I tell you tonight, church, we need to have an expectation. And if we will, we'll see God's glory come back into the church like as never before. Amen. And brother, those miracles and signs and healings that we've talked about because we got a kindred heart will come back to the church. Oh, I wish I could. Amen. What do we tell this younger generation? Do we tell them you should have been part of the former rain? But the idea of the latter rain is just a charismatic catchphrase. You should have been here in the church's first glory. No, tell them to expect it the latter glory. We'll be glory, glory and more glorious than the former. It's true that there are some among us that have not yet experienced and seen what some of you have been privileged to see. But let me help you tonight. This younger generation is not going to be able to piggyback off of your past dated experiences and how God moved for you and ride that for their own. No, they're not going to be able to do it. It can inspire faith. But if this younger generation is going to catch a hold, it's going to be because that there is a demonstration that's taking place in our churches. That's it. They're not going to make it on our experiences. And some of you are wondering, why in the world, how are we going to get rid of this carnality? How are we going to get rid of this worldliness? How are we going to get rid of all these things that's coming into the church? I'll tell you how. Get you a good move of the Holy Ghost burning, and the fire gets hot enough, it burns out the dross. Amen. We can have, oh yes, I found out that the greater move of the Holy Ghost that we have, the less problems we have with standards and issues like that. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, church, the Holy Ghost is the answer. A day greater than Pentecost. I don't know how much time elapsed between Acts 2, 1 through 4, and Peter's message to Acts 4. I don't know. But I don't think it was very long. But God goes on record and says, hey, you know, it was wonderful when you shouted out of that upper room and staggered like drunk men. It was wonderful when all that took place. But I want my church to know that you're not always going to reach back to a day behind you. I want to have a church that is reaching for that which is before. Believing, I know. I mean, I'm old enough now to know that we're dealing with things that we've never dealt with before. I understand that. I mean, it's not just out there in the world. It's not. I mean, we're dealing with things right in our churches. I mean, my dad told me some time back. He said, "You know, son, I'd like to be able to give you some advice about pastoring and you know how to handle people and all these things." And he said, "I'd like to." And he said, "I've pastored 3 churches, but he said as I've traveled around the country, talked to pastors and held revivals in different churches, he said, can I just say, he said it's a whole new ball game." People are different.
they've ever been before. He said, you used to take one scripture and give them a principle for why we're preaching and teaching what we believe here. But now you can throw the whole book at them, and if they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. Come on now. But in some ways, it's always been that way. But I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that when we get an active move of the Holy Ghost and His presence moving in our church, I'm telling you, we'll just begin. You say that here a while back, you just had a bonfire. I don't know what kind of church that was, but I was surprised when we had a bonfire here a while back, all the filth and rot and all the things that actually got dumped into the bonfire. Amen. Oh, yes. But I want to tell you something, friend. And regardless of all of that, what I'm telling you is that if the church, amen, will still pray and seek His face and believe God, God's principles, amen, for revival have not changed. And God will still do what He's always done. Amen. I remember I was privileged enough to come in at a time when church was in revival. Dad, I do remember those 5 and 6 week revivals with Brother Joe Dunn. Some of y'all remember those days when Brother Joe Dunn was having great revivals in this part of the country. I remember them carrying them out 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. I remember people not going to be able to go to work because they were still speaking in tongues the next day. And men, I remember a time when men were working their 8 hours, 10 hours a day, getting up early, going to work, but because there was such an active move of the Holy Ghost, they couldn't wait to get back to service the next night. They didn't use it for a petty excuse. Well, I'm just tired and wore out. Welcome to the human race, friend. Amen. But we want revival. I remember those revivals. I remember the police showing up. The police showed up. You know what they said? The neighbors are calling saying, you're making too much noise. Too much noise. Noise control comes out. Amen. And the police show up and come in the building. And the Holy Ghost is moving. And people are shouting and dancing and running the aisles and having big time. Holy Ghost is moving. I mean, people are being filled with the Holy Ghost. And the police stands at the back of that building. I still remember. Looks around, and he says to somebody, who's in charge here? And somebody pointed to my dad, who was a pastor. And he's usually in charge. Until the Holy Ghost shows up. And finally, he got Dad's attention back towards the back and called him back. And he said, are you in charge here? And my dad said, no. He said, well, this person over here told me you're the pastor. Are you the pastor? I am the pastor. Well, then you're in charge. He said, no, sir. The Holy Ghost is in charge. Wouldn't it be wonderful to walk over into the hands of the Holy Ghost and put Him back in charge?
Yes, sir.
Huh? I remember, you didn't have to tell it. I remember it. I remember one sister, I don't even remember who it was. There's too many shouting. Hairpins are flying. Yeah, I remember a time, Brother Tommy, that before you vacuumed the floors, you went up and down the aisles and you picked up hairpins and you picked up, come on. Before you vacuumed, because if you didn't, come on now. I remember that. Somebody said they don't have enough to shout down anymore in a lot of places. Hallelujah. Well, glory. But at that time, sister come by, they got one of them good Holy Ghost war hoots. Woo! He steps back, and finally he decides. He said, I don't see nobody harming anything around here. He said, just tell the people when they get ready to leave, don't be hollering and screaming out loud and honking their horns on their way out. Y'all remember that. But it won't do him a dime's worth of good. Huh? We got to have a move of the Holy Ghost now. We got to have a move of the Holy Ghost now. Amen. And I tell you tonight, church, if the homeless people would shut their mouths as it relates to being in everybody's business, get down on their knees and seek God, we live good enough, clean lives, and we could have revival quicker than about anybody. Huh? Hallelujah. I'm talking about a day better, greater than. I want you to get the book of Ephesians for me. I'm fixing to shut this thing down. Hallelujah. I want you to get me Ephesians chapter 3. I'm talking about a day greater than Pentecost. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4. Begin there. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. Yes, sir. You got a mic, I want to be able to hear you real good. Yeah, it's Paul's prayer.
Uh-huh.
I'll repeat.
And our Lord Jesus Christ.
Our Father, our Lord Jesus, he does have a Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go on.
Of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named.
Earth is named.
That he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah.
And?
Glory to God.
Go on.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts.
Yeah, you know why? Wait. You know why Christ got to dwell in your hearts?
Oh, yes.
Because when John lifted up Jesus out of the river of Jordan, the dove landed on Jesus.
Yes,
and that's where he still lights.
He's still there.
Go ahead.
That he may be rooted and grounded in love.
Uh-huh.
May be able to comprehend.
Oh, it's a problem.
Yeah.
That you may be able to comprehend
with all saints.
With all saints.
What is the breadth?
What is the breadth?
And the length.
And the length.
And the depth. And the height, and to know the love of
Christ,
which passeth knowledge,
that he might be filled
with the fullness of God.
The fullness of God. Read on.
Oh,
that's it.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm about to lose my place here. I'm getting so happy. Now unto him that is able to do.
Now unto him.
Amen.
That is able.
Is able.
In relation to being filled with all the fullness of God.
Come on, church.
And to him.
And to him that is able.
That is able.
Exceeding.
To do. Exceeding.
Exceeding abundantly. Above all.
Above all.
That we ask or think.
Ask.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What have you been asking?
That we ask or think.
That you ask or think.
According to the power.
According to the power.
That worketh.
That worketh
in us.
The onus is on us.
On us.
Go
on
ahead.
Us. On us. Unto him be glory in the church.
Unto him be glory in the
For
church.
Christ Jesus throughout all
Till
ages.
Till the apostles die.
No. Throughout all ages.
Throughout all ages.
Throughout all ages, church. Throughout all ages. World with
him. Not in. That's you. That's me. That's where we're at. Right here on the precipice of the very last of the last days. Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages. Woe without him.
And
with me tonight.
Praise. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hallelujah.
To him. And to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly.
Would you lift your hands tonight and ask the Lord to give you a greater expectation?
Oh, God, fill this place tonight.
Hallelujah. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in you. Unto him be glory. I want to say tonight, God has not cheapened his product. God has not cheapened his product. Huh? But don't let me hurt you right here. But neither has he lowered his price. He has not cheapened his product. And he has not lowered his price. According to the power that works in you, there's got to be that faith. There's got to be that dedication and consecration and the selling out to God. There's something wonderful about that early church, and that is that they made Pentecost the priority of their lives. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why our churches have been raised up. It's because another generation in days gone by paid the price for it. And what I'm asking of a church in this generation is, can we lay aside all of the things that are mere distractions to a move of God? And get back to the place where we can believe for the day that God has in mind for the church. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you, Lord, for your church. And I'm asking you, oh God, that somehow, some way, we will be able to shake all of the things, Lord, that are common hindrances in our lives and reach for you like we have never reached for you before. This generation deserves to see from us no less than what was handed to us. And Lord, if we do not show this generation what has been shown to us, then we are the ones that are guilty of dropping the spiritual ball. Help us, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know it's late, but this altar call is going to prove tonight where we're at, where our spiritual temperatures are at, where our hunger level is at, where our desire level is, because this altar service is a real barometer to what we're hungry for. Come on now. Unto him that is able. I've proven to you tonight that we cannot lock God in. And God has went on record to show the church that there are greater days for the church if the church will believe for it. And we've got to have an expectation for it. You say, Brother Richard, it'd have to go a long ways to beat what I've been involved in my lifetime. And some of you that might say that, you've got lost children you're praying for right now. Huh? You got lost family right now. You got people that's drifting further away from God than they've ever drifted before. Huh? We're going to have a greater day. The altar is open tonight. Amen. I'm not here to scold you tonight. I'm here to challenge you. There is a greater day. I feel like the Lord inspired me some time back to try to challenge the church to believe for something bigger and something better, and to believe that God has still got something on the calendar of the church before that great and notable day. Hallelujah. Could you plead with him tonight? Could you pour out your spirit before him? Could you make intercessions unto him with groanings that cannot be uttered? Could the church once again get in that spirit of travail and yearning until words can't speak it? But there is something on the inside that causes you to pray until your sides ache and you believe God for a day greater than this generation seen. A day greater.